Come on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 153 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, January 29th. This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about losing on the road, the All-Star Game, and Kid Rock.
Oh, do we have to talk about Kid Rock?
I thought you wanted to. You had all these technical details about how great of a performer he is.
No.
Make Kid Rock great again.
Oh, that actually, I'm surprised he doesn't have a hat that says that.
I'm sure he does.
He's gotta.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe he needs to work on making Detroit great again, because... Just saying.
He can't still, like, make The Rock great again, because, you know, there's already The Rock. Dwayne.
You were saying make Rock great again, as in, like, music.
Or The Rock, yeah. Okay. Oh, I guess, yeah. Okay. There is no The in Kid The Rock.
Well, The Rock has also been... The Rock has been
the etymology of Kid Rock.
Yes.
Well, you know, he's not really much of a kid anymore. The man's in his 50s. At what point is he no longer Kid Rock and now he's Old Man Rock?
You know, that's a good question. Is Kid and Play still Kid and Play?
Kid rocking on my walker up and down the block.
Is Kid and Play still alive?
That's another question.
I don't think they... I think one of them is gone. Sure.
Remember when they made all those?
No longer Kid and Play. It's old and dead.
I might be thinking of Criss Cross. Sorry, one of those ones passed away.
Yeah, one of the Criss Cross.
Yeah,
you remember all the bad Kid and Play movies from the 90s?
Oh yeah, House Party, man,
and House Party 2.
Was there a House Party 3?
I don't know, but there's another movie
there
that
probably
they were...
was. It just wasn't released
in some alternate universe.
Yeah.
It was all. People with the hairstyle that was like the beveled
right.
head.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that to...
But it was the porn version of that.
I'm waiting for
House
that to come back again.
Unrated. Sorry.
Mike's Apartment Edition.
Ooh. Ooh, boy. So do we talk about Kid Rock now, or do we wait till the question comes up?
We'll get there. I got nothing else to say. I mean, you guys have good weekends here?
Yeah,
we got some, I know Jive and I got some pinball time in. Went to Tilt this weekend for friend of the show, Derek Phelps's big old birthday.
Well,
there.
And some trivia previous to that.
We had some trivia down at Summit with the Felskas, as well as a friend
Tim
of the
Nato
show, Tim Nato.
Was there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good time. It was a
definitely
good weekend.
Great time.
I think...
deliver my liver.
Honestly, I think this is probably the least I've worked in a weekend in 9 months.
That's a good thing?
That's saying
a
lot.
I'm hoping?
Yeah, because that's usually why, like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if I did like a 9-to-5 type thing.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I get it.
It's almost like a mini vacation for me.
A staycation.
Staycation.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I got some work in there still, but, you know, it was good. Right. And then the All-Star Game and the stuff.
Yeah, well.
Watch Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, well, Kenny's like, hey, they talk about Sambuca on Weekend at Bernie's. And I'm like, you must be watching the Sundance Channel.
Yes, I was.
The Sundance.
Because Weekend at Bernie's is on right now, and I too am watching Weekend at Bernie's, the cinematic masterpiece that it is.
Oh, dude, you know, the only thing that would have been better is if they would have played the second one right after.
Would that really be better?
I don't know.
Have you seen the second one recently?
No, it's been a long time.
I don't know how I caught it. I must have been like HBO or something, like, I don't know, 5 years ago.
It's bad, isn't it?
The first one isn't very good.
No, you know, so...
The second one's even worse.
So the Sundance Channel played it back-to-back, and what happened was I caught, like, the last 15 minutes of the first time that they played it, and I was like, okay, I gotta watch Weekend at Bernie's. I was actually utterly disappointed on how slow that movie actually moves along.
Well, it's all about keeping Bernie looking like he's not dead.
Maybe I was just more entertained when I was like 10 years old watching it because it was funny, but it was not that good of a movie.
No, it's not a very good movie. Okay, so we get a lot of hockey to talk about. So, and by a lot of hockey, I mean one wild game.
One
so
wild game.
Let's get into it.
We better hurry up.
Yeah, better make it quick.
Here we go.
So, the one wild game, with the exception of Eric Staal having two games. One wild game this week. Wild lose 6-3 to Penguins on the road. Basically, six uncontested goals by the Penguins and then three too little, too late goals by the Wild to wrap up the game in the third there.
So, yeah, the last 10 minutes of the game weren't bad.
Yeah, the it was the first 50 that were terrible. Yeah, you had 2 points for Staal and Foligno. Foligno and Olofsson were the only Wild players to finish with a positive plus minus. Not a good game. Dubnyk gets pulled, which, you know, I would hesitate probably to pin a lot of that on him.
Yeah.
The team was not playing well in front of him. I mean,
it was ugly. I mean, they were pretty much keeping lanes wide open for Pittsburgh to just do whatever they wanted to.
Yeah.
They didn't even look like they were trying.
No, it was not a good game.
Or is Pittsburgh and Sid the Kid just that good?
No. I mean, they are, but to be quite honest, I mean, there's no way the Wild should have gave up at least half of those.
I can agree.
Not as good as the final score looked. Granted, two of those goals against were also power play goals, just to make it even worse.
Weren't a couple of those like real quick power play goals too?
They were not very good. I mean, the whole game wasn't good. Let's be honest here. It just wasn't good. So, and I'm pretty sure I was the only one who predicted the Wild would lose on the road yet again.
Yeah.
You guys keep on betting that they'll win,
because it's got to turn around somewhere.
Gambler's fallacy. Look it up. That's not a good bet. Well, you wanted to turn around. I understand you're being hopeful, but
you know all those $2 bets after like 15 times that one odds against will make you even in your pocketbook.
You're assuming that it's going to pay 15 to 1 odds.
You know, but when you bet 15 to 1 odds, yeah.
But the Vikings will eventually win a Super Bowl.
Are we going to live to see that?
At this point, no, I'm not sure.
We'll eventually put a man on the moon.
Eventually.
We put a man on the moon!
Oh, that was fake.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Wild not doing well on the road. They are now 9-14-1 on the road, which is second worst in the West.
This is the first worst in the West.
That would be Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So not great company.
No.
Let's be honest here. Conversely, only the Vegas Knights have a better home record than the Wild. And that's in the NHL as a whole. So the Wild are doing well at home, terrible on the road. Are you guys seeing anything this season right now where you go, this is why they're losing on the road and this is why they're winning at home? Because I struggle to figure out why this team is so different on the road.
I don't know that I see anything particular, but a lot of times, you know, when things start to go south like this, when we've seen the games, this isn't the first time that the Wild have been, I mean, I remember recently in Colorado too, where the Wild were being, you know, basically manhandled by the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts out with a couple of soft goals, honestly. And, you know, I know you say that, you know, the team isn't playing good in front of the goaltender, but, You know, there's times too when the goaltender, you know, has to make some of those spectacular saves and keep your team in the game. So, not saying, just saying.
Well, and you could look at certain players too. I mean, because if you look at the players, you know, that are out there, you look at someone like Dumba. He's scoring at 2 times a clip at home than he is at on the road. You know, if you look at some of the other players, they may have some similar gaps, but I mean, that's one guy that stands out who's not putting it in the net, not contributing, and his plus minus is like -8 on the road, and I think like a +4 or something like that at home. So he's contributing negatively on both ends of the ice. And I know he's not the only one. That was just when I, on my spot checking, that I saw that was, you know.
And that's easy to say, but I mean, you know, like you said, he, if the entire team is not doing well, of course people's numbers are going to be, you know, down when they're on the road. I mean, it's just kind of, it's what you would expect. Common sense.
Well, I mean, this is true. In general, teams play better at home than on the road.
Yeah.
However, this is a pretty wide gap in performance between home and road. This is not what you would expect.
Aaron, I'm looking, and maybe you have a better idea where to find it. So I'm on Hockey Reference right now, looking at Wild statistics.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost sitting like middle of the pack right now across all stats on NHL average, which I guess would also kind of make sense with that home, road. I'm not sure if they played same amount of home games as road games right now. I guess that's what I was kind of looking for. But so going with that, I mean, if they are doing that, you know, maybe they're just taking stuff to extremes too far one way or another and can't find that proper balance on getting everything level.
Well, I think there's plenty of players that are playing well in both places. Coyle's pretty much even between home and road. Niederreiter also pretty much even between home and road.
When he's there.
When he's there. I mean, but I think we've got just a case where there's some guys that just aren't doing the same thing. You can look at someone like Zucker. I mean, he on the road, he's got 23 points. At home, 13. So he's trying. He's trying to help. So
with his empty net goals?
Well, hey, how did you get them?
There's only 7 empty net goals. No, just kidding. but, you know, he's at least at one point in the season was contributing on the road, where we haven't seen that from everyone. And I think you need some more consistent play, you know, from the top of the team to the bottom of the team, right?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. It's a team effort out there. Obviously, everybody needs to step up at some point. And, you know, whether it's your top lines or, you know, if you're getting some contribution from your third and fourth lines. I mean, it's a team effort. And if the team doesn't show up on the road, you know, maybe you need to get different hotel rooms or something. Well, I don't know.
And just quickly spot checking here, there's a few other guys, you know, Koivu. He's got a huge differential between the home and road, where at home he's, like, I think, double the amount of points that he has on the road. Spurgeon, he's got 19 points at home, 5 on the road.
So,
you know, that's a pretty wide berth there.
Could this correlate to when they're on the road, the other team can line match a little bit better, whereas the Wild can line match better when they're at home? Are we seeing some of our third and fourth line guys getting more goals on the road and more of our top line guys getting goals at home?
When I was looking at more of our bottom line guys, they were pretty consistently mediocre regardless.
Wow. They just don't score.
They just don't score. Which is actually matches up with what we've been seeing. You know, we've been seeing a lot of line juggling in those bottom couple lines,
yeah.
Whether it's Eric Sinek going up and down, Chris Stewart being healthy scratched. We're seeing plenty of, you know, churn in those lines.
Yeah.
So obviously, Boudreau is trying to figure something out. It's not quite clicking quite yet here. Yeah. You know, so with that, I did mention that Dubnyk was pulled during the game. Mm-hmm. It's the fourth time he's been pulled. Third time, if you only include times where it was performance-based. One time was because he was hurt. Right now, Stalock and Dubs, they're almost identical stat-wise. I think Dubnyk's got an edge on shutouts and some of the advanced stats, but they're pretty close. With that, is there any concern? I mean, Stalock has not been pulled once this season. Dubnyk's been pulled a few times. Dubnyk also had a few shutouts. Stalock's got, I think, one, and I think Dubnyk's got three. Is there any concern right now with Dubnyk, or is it just like a bad game and is what it is?
Well, and that's the thing, is these haven't, the lucky thing with Dubnyk is that it's not like this goes in streaks for him. He'll be really off one night, but then, the other nights he can be really on.
He's got short memory.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
And so that is a good thing. That said, though, you don't want to get down the down the road down here when we're looking to get into a playoff spot and run into one of those nights, because one of these nights when
one of those golden nights.
Yes.
Oh.
when you find yourself in a hole, in a quick hurry, yes, things can be overcome. And we saw even in the Pittsburgh game, the Wild, being down at one point, was it 6-0? Or did they get a goal before?
No, it was 6-0.
Yeah, it was 6-0. And, before the Wild get a single goal. But then their goals started to come in flurries. The Wild started putting them in the net. So,
Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah.
I was thinking it. Okay. I wasn't going to go there.
Right.
Well, you had Vegas or Pittsburgh, there's some connection there.
But
yeah, a little bit.
But no, like that. Our offense can swoop back, but you put yourself down 3 or 4 goals early in the game, and it's tough for any team to bounce back from that.
But as you were just saying, though, it's a team effort. So,
yes, it is.
Had the Wild responded back to one of those first, let's say even first 2 or 3 goals, I think it would have changed the pace of the game right then and there. And I don't think it would have come down to the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
As it was.
In the same way, though, you could say, one, semi-spectacular save and keeping your team in the game, and the game could have been totally different too. So,
yeah, but I don't see. I would say out of those first 3 goals, I'd have a tough time putting those on Dubnyk. One was a power play goal. That Malkin one was there was no stopping that one. And I think it was the Hagelin one also was a solid goal. It's at a certain point, you need some support.
You do need support.
And I'm
going to disagree here, because I feel that a lot of Dubnyk's goals are fairly soft. And a lot of times, yes, it's like a funky bounce or something like that, but it's like a funky bounce that he doesn't handle.
Yeah, but you look at save percentages, he's basically the same as Stalock. And you're dogging on him for, I'm not certain what reason. If you look at their winning percentages, he's got a better winning percentage than Stalock.
Yeah, he does.
So
I agree. But I'm not even comparing him to just Stalock. I'm just saying the goals that he does let in are very soft ones, in my opinion, a lot of the time. So he's a big body.
So that means there's only room to grow then.
He's a big body in the net. He's a big body in the net. So no, we don't need to do any more growing.
He's a grower, not a shower.
Right.
Oh.
So
double entendre.
I don't know. I just feel that especially when you're coming down the road and looking to get into the playoffs. You need some of that spectacular play sometimes from your goaltender. When you have those 10-minute lulls in the game where, yeah, the team in front of you isn't skating as well as they could. But, you know.
I guess I'm still struggling to understand, though, how he can be better than Stalock when their numbers are basically the same.
How many home games have each of them played, and how many away games?
When I spot checked, it was pretty close.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can actually find that pretty quickly.
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, is Dubnyk getting some of the tougher starts against some of the better teams on the road? You know, is Stalock getting some of the easier, not easier, because, you know, it's every game is going to be a fight, as we've seen.
So Dubnyk's had 32 games that he started. He's got 18 at home, 14 on the road.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure some of that has to do with the back-to-backs we've had. But his record at home is, like, and that's one thing you might have to take in, if you're Boudreaux, you have to probably take in consideration. His record at home is 12-2-3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
pretty solid. What's the Wild's record at home?
True, fair. But how much of that is him? You know, if you're winning you're winning at home and he's in that, why wouldn't you start him at home?
I don't know.
You know, maybe. You think you're gonna get better? I mean, that's pretty stellar. You know,
what are you gonna do on the road if nobody's winning on the road? Well, flip a coin.
I mean, that's kind of where you're at, right? I think that's probably what Boudreaux's doing. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I got to try to figure out a way to win on the road.
I highly doubt Boudreaux saying, I don't know what I'm doing here, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if he's the kind of guy who'd be like, I don't know.
Haagen-Dazs?
Haagen-Dazs.
Let's have some ice cream and think about it.
There's always room for ice cream, right?
Always room for ice cream.
So, I don't know. That's the one game of the week there.
Yep. All right. Why don't we get into that wild card?
Sounds good.
Oh, for the wild card today, we got the All-Star game that happened over the weekend, or All-Star games. Starting things off as the Pacific versus our own Central Division. No goals for Staal.
Boo.
MacKinnon and Subban managed to get a couple goals for the Central, but ultimately in the end, the Pacific
had two empty net goals.
Yeah, but they reigned over the Central there with the 5-2 win. So we have mentioned before that you know, the Central Division kind of being the division of death. Right, you know, but you know, the scoreboard says differently here, and you know, so what do you think is so tough for our division? I mean, we haven't, I don't think, in the last couple of years done very well at the All-Star game. Is it that maybe we don't have the star players that, you know, some of those other divisions have, or, you know, maybe we got more of a team focus in the Central?
Maybe just all the teams in the Central hate each other and they don't want to play together.
Oh, that could be it.
I mean,
a little animosity on the ice.
Well, and I think you can make an argument, and I think we did a little bit last week, was that, you know, traditionally we see a lot of players from, say, Chicago who, you know, they're good players, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they probably could have... You know, other players could have been picked that may have been a little bit higher performing. And maybe it's just not the right balance of players. Maybe it's all kind of like uniskill players that are getting pulled in here.
Doesn't work together.
Yeah.
No chemistry.
Well, and again, though, going with that, being that we are in such a tight division, are you going to exert yourself to the point where you got possible injury, where you got to go back and play these guys a bunch yet, and you're going to be fighting for those points?
I don't think anybody's overexerting themselves at
that $100,000 is not really worth the you know, not making playoffs.
But the other, the same could be said for the other divisions too, though, and they're not, you know. So I would have a hard time saying that they're not going to go out there and compete. I would agree though that, you know, they're not all going 100% out there. They're, you know.
No, but I mean, we've seen that pretty much in All-Star games before, even prior format. But at that point, it was more of a shooting gallery, and the goalies are basically like, yeah, we're kind of screwed. And, you know, my goals against, good thing this does not count against.
Right.
Normal season stats. But, yeah.
All right. So then the Atlantic took on the Metropolitan Division. And they came out victorious, 7-4. The usual suspects from the Metro Division showed up. Kenny's favorite, Crosby. Crosby and Ovi, they pitched in with a goal each, I believe. But Kucherov, he managed to get a Hattie in that first game there for the Atlantic. But in the end then, so it came down to the Pacific and the Atlantic, and the Pacific still reigned over everybody.
John Scott.
Yeah, without John Scott. Brock Besser got another, he had a goal in the first game and a goal in the second game. Rickard Rakell, you know, got a couple goals in this game. So it looks like, you know, they got some good input from all around out there in the Pacific. I mean, I know
former Wild player Brent Burns had a goal in the first game.
Yep, Brent Burns, Drew Doughty. I mean, they spread the wealth all around too. You know, it was like everybody was getting in on the gig. So, the one thing that, you know, kind of threw you off a little bit about the game though was, you know, those jerseys. What was up with the jerseys?
Not just the jerseys, the full getup, man. Because it was,
yes.
Like if you looked at the West, it was like black versus white. It actually reminded me of the
beer, Strange Brew.
Strange Brew, yes, with some highlighting colors on there. Do, 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 do,
do. Yeah. So there was solar red. Ugh. And
which looked more like pink.
It looked like salmon in certain angles.
Either salmon or like hot pink.
Yeah.
And then there was UV yellow. So, you know, I don't know. Was the All-Star Entertainment actually supposed to be the Manfred Mann band?
Blinded.
Manfred Mann? No.
Singing Blinded by the Light?
Blinded by the light a little bit.
Wouldn't that be Bruce Springsteen? The original artist of the song?
Is he?
Yeah. They couldn't afford Bruce, so they got Manfred Mann.
Is he the original artist for that song?
Yeah, swear to God.
Yeah?
Look it up.
Okay.
Manfred Mann covered Springsteen, I think, two or three times.
Springsteen actually wrote songs for quite a few people that he did not play.
But the interesting thing is Manfred Mann, I think all their like big hits are actually covers of Bruce Springsteen songs. Yeah.
Nice. That's funny.
I think they look, you know, kind of like bad Gatorade bottle designs.
Yeah, there was that. I mean, with all the high viz, are they trying to like turn these guys into construction workers out there? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't want to get anybody run over. Maybe that's what they're trying to do, protect the players.
Don't want to get run over by a Zamboni. Better call OSHA. Yeah.
So then what are you guys thinking for the jerseys and the unis? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going down. Two thumbs down.
Two thumbs down.
I think they should have went all camo.
All camo.
So you couldn't see anyone.
Ooh, or they could have done like it's kind of popular now. You do the little highlight, hot pink camo, or you know, something like that.
They could have done a solar red camo, and UV yellow camo.
Right,
who's gonna do the urban blue?
Probably the Atlantic
Metro.
I don't even remember what teams have what colors anymore. That's the one bummer about this whole Metro, you know, going divisional. is, I personally find it completely not memorable. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's just as meaningless as West versus East or North America versus World or whatever way you're splitting up the
teams. Whichever way you want to spin it. Right?
Yeah, the fantasy teams. You know, I would almost say it's like, what is the point?
I think we have this exact same conversation every year that we've done this show and we've talked about it. Seriously, what's the point of the game?
It's getting more and more tired as time goes on is really probably the problem.
Isn't every sports all-star game, though, kind of...
Yeah, probably.
Actually, I think the most entertaining all-star game for the major sports is probably baseball.
But that's
a hard time agreeing with that. I mean,
that's like the classic all-star game.
Right.
It's the first all-star game. Yeah. And everyone else is like, well, we need to get in on that all-star action. And even baseball, like we said, even baseball, it's kind of run its course,
what does baseball have? The home run derby?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, then they get into all these different
slam dunk contests
and stuff like that.
I remember I saw online, it was a great meme of Jeremy Roenick asking the tough questions. I remember who it was that he was interviewing. He's like, so the hardest shot contest, what's the most important thing? How hard you shoot it or how accurate? And the guy goes, well, it's how hard you shoot it. It's the hardest shot. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with here.
Well, Roenick got shot down by our buddy John Scott last year, didn't he?
Well, as it's deserved.
Well, right.
You know, so... I don't know. I mean, and I'm sure we'll come across this again next year, and we'll be asking the same questions. What is the point of this?
Can we just take like this chunk right here? We'll just patch it into next year's show, and we'll take a break while it's happening.
You know, the problem is they could look at this all-star game, an all-star game, and make it. You know, they could tweak the format and make it like just a fun thing,
right?
You know. Imagine like a, you know, they do like this 3-on-3 like they've been doing, but maybe they do it more like pond hockey, and every team sends their goalie and three skaters, and or even just three skaters. Let the goalies have the rest because they, you know, apparently are, you know, brittle and can't play more than a couple days in a row.
No, definitely not.
You know, but you know, and then just have like a round robin tournament and. You have a short game, so no one's getting killed. You know, there's certain ways you could reimagine this that might be interesting. You know, they're not obviously not opposed to re-looking at these things. So,
well, here's the one thing. And Mark Lazarus, I think it's Mark Lazarus, beat writer for Chicago Blackhawks, had said something about with where Chicago's sitting right now, and he goes. They've had more time off in this past month, and they're not a unique team.
No.
Because you have the Christmas break, you've got your bye week, and then you've got the All-Star break pretty much back to back to back in a 30-day time span.
Yep.
Is this all really necessary? Is that bye week really necessary if you're already getting a break with the All-Star break and the Christmas break? Now you're just throwing a bye week in there to...
Well, they had to. I mean, it was negotiated.
Too bad we don't have an Olympic break, too.
Well, that'd be, well, you know, because if we had that, we would not have had the All-Star break.
Well, maybe
we just need all of them.
Yeah, you know, maybe we can reunify Germany just for the Olympic game, kind of like they're doing with the Koreans. Yeah.
Right. Or maybe we split Germany back up for that. Ooh. So we got East and West Germany versus Korea.
Vanek will battle himself.
Well, it depends what side he was on.
Vanek was German. No, he wasn't German. Heatley was German.
No.
Heatley will battle himself. I like that even better.
I mean, if it's in the contract now, or the is it CBA that it's in for the bye week?
Yeah.
Does it say when they have to take the bye week?
There's a few predefined. So not every team has their bye week at the same segment. So
right.
So it's basically, I think there's like a window.
probably the same time in January, though.
I think a lot of teams do have that. I mean, but the league's obviously not dead during that time, so not everyone's taking the bye week in the same period.
Just like all of us. Everybody can't go on vacation on the same days, right?
Right.
I mean,
generally speaking.
Yeah. You know, you still need a Hockey Day Canada or whatever, and you still need Real Wednesday rivalry.
Yeah.
You can't not have that.
You need the Sharks versus Rangers for that.
Right.
The Sharks versus Rangers. Good call. One more thing though on the colors.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about. Do you think it's possible that like those colors that they were mixing in there might have something to do with maybe an expansion team that might get announced?
So, as ugly as the uniforms were in general, I respect the color choices because they're not just like obvious, you know, because I feel like a lot of teams it's blue, it's red, or red, white, and blue, or some combination of that. Especially in North American sports, you see the red, white, blue combination way too much. You know, and I enjoy the fact that in Minnesota we have the Wild, which are red and green.
Merry Christmas.
Maybe not my favorite combination, but you know, hey, it's not normal.
Yeah.
You have purple and gold, also not you don't have 10 teams in the league wearing purple and gold.
The Minnesota Kings? No, the Vikings. Oh.
The Kings. Yes.
Yeah.
So we'd have had blue with yellow.
Yep.
Which would have been
UV yellow.
Yeah, that would have been Atlantic Division, because that would have been in Tampa Bay. I'm guessing that's why they were blue.
Okay.
I'm just considering the color palette of the rest.
Sure.
Metro was gray, and it was actually kind of Penguins-esque colors. If you look at it, like the gray, the black, and then the yellow.
UV yellow.
UV yellow. It's not just yellow.
UV yellow.
It's not like that gold yellow.
Yeah, it was retina burning yellow.
Yes.
The central.
UV, right? Don't stare at the sun.
Don't stare at Crosby.
Right.
The central were the black, all black.
Black with the solar red.
Solar red. And then the Pacific were the all white. Now, looking at these on NHL's website,
they look more like salmon online.
On their website, the black looks more salmon and the white looks more orange, like Flyers colors.
Yeah, but if you're watching on TV,
no,
that was
definitely
pink.
Was not.
It was like hot pink.
Definitely.
Yeah. Or, I mean, solar red.
So, right. I guess the one nice thing with their color choices that they chose is that you didn't have to have a home and away, because no matter how you matched up the teams, it was all going to be differentiated enough. Even like if you went with the gray, which is fairly white, when you put it against the white, the colors were obviously different enough.
Right.
The gray against the black would have been different enough. And then obviously the blue would have been just completely different from everybody.
But I mean, there's no reason they couldn't have used more primary colors and had the same effect.
Yeah,
you could have had a white team, a blue team, a green team, and a red team, and even the colorblind would be able to tell the teams apart.
And this is what I'm saying. Maybe, you know, there's been a lot of talk about an expansion team coming to Seattle.
So the salmon for the fish, the salmon color for the fish.
Well, no,
the fishing industry.
I'm thinking that both of those highlight colors. You know, a little bit of the solar red and a little bit of the UV yellow, brighten things up out there in Seattle.
Gloomy Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
It would be an interesting color combination.
Yes, it would.
I'm thinking it's more so for the expansion team that just came around where, you know, Vegas is a desert and the sun's always shining.
Okay.
So you're saying they're going to change it after they're like, they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
We are not the Golden Knights anymore.
We are now the Solar Red Knights.
Right.
Yes.
The UV Yellow Knights.
UV Yellow. Instead of the Golden, they're the UV Yellow Knights.
Okay, we'll see if that happens here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's work on it.
Upcoming this week, we've got a few games. We've got Columbus. We're at Columbus. Then Vegas is coming here just in time for the Super Bowl weekend here.
We got Vegas.
So since Vegas is coming here, does that make gambling legal then?
Got to get the bookies.
For that Friday?
Got to get the bookies.
Yeah, okay. And then the Wild are off to Dallas next weekend.
So Russo was talking about, because this is, MSP is going to be absolutely insane this upcoming weekend. You have everybody flying in. The Wild will be coming back, because from what he was saying, so the Wild are next week, they're playing in St. Louis on Tuesday, but they're actually coming home to practice for a day after the Dallas game. So they're coming to back to MSP, and then they're flying to St. Louis.
St. Louis?
The Blues. Next Tuesday. So it's coming up in our next week conversation.
Okay.
But they were asking Russo, is he going to come back to MSP as well? And he goes, no, I think I'm going to hang out, because MSP, you have not only on Monday everybody leaving from all the Super Bowl traffic heading out.
Yeah.
You also have everybody taking off for the Olympics at the same time.
Olympics.
And then
Monday is also the start to the business week. So.
And he's like, I'm going to avoid MSP altogether. And he's like, I think I'm going to take an extra day in Dallas, I think is what he said, and then fly right to St. Louis, or maybe take an extra day in St. Louis or something like that.
Maybe he'll be able to view the, isn't there a blue moon or something coming up down there too?
Maybe.
I don't know. All right. Should we get into Twitter talk?
Let's do it.
All right.
So our first question comes from at MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. Michael Grabner, could the Minnesota Wild be interested? Pose this question on next week's Three in the Box pod, hashtag 3ATV, parentheses, Jeb Minute. We'll probs forget to read it. What did you do to him, man?
I don't know why he's got it out for me. But. Okay.
So this is actually in response to another tweet from Pro Hockey Rumors that the Rangers could move Rick Nash and Michael Grabner before the deadline. But moves involving players signed beyond the season may wait until summer. He's talking about the Rangers in general, but the fact that he brought up Nash and Grabner. Would they be interested? So, just looking at a few things. He, I think, was sitting at like 1.6.
He being Grabner?
Grabner, I think, was sitting at 1.6 right now. I just had it up and I lost the tab. 1.65 mil. He's a UFA next year. Obviously, Nash we can't afford.
Yeah, I think that's a gimme.
With Grabner, yeah, I'll leave it out there and I'll pose the question to you guys. Would the Wild have any interest in him, or what would they need to do to acquire him?
We'd have to lose something else somewhere. So, otherwise, we got no space for that, really.
I mean, he is playing pretty well this year. 21 goals, 5 assists, 26 points. I mean, goal side, not bad. 30 years old. It would probably be a rental.
Right. And that's the thing, is I don't think that we have space right now for a rental like that. So, really, I don't. I kind of think that that's out of the question. They're probably not going to be interested.
That, and you got to look at his health. I mean, look at his last. Yeah, outside of this season, out of the last 5 years, he's only played more than 65 games twice. He's had a problem missing time, and even then, he hasn't always scored that well. So I would be worried we'd be buying high on him. And plus, until Parisi and Suter decide to hang it up, we're going to be battling, cap restrictions the whole time.
Or they restructure their contracts and
if the CBA will allow us to weasel out of that somehow.
That's, what, 15 mil between the two of them? Just over 15 mil a year.
Right.
And right now, what is it, 75 mil?
We'll say 75, okay. Yeah.
So you're getting down in your years on in your NHL career. Wouldn't you really love to put a championship around your belt and, you know, hey, maybe, you know, hey, I am getting a little older, but I like hanging out here. But I want to have a successful team where, you know, we get somewhere. Maybe they decide, you know, we could take a little less.
Yeah, you know what? They'd have to negotiate that's
some wishful thinking they'd here,
man. That means that they'd have to go through their agents, and their agents means that their agents are taking a little less, and I highly doubt their agents are going to negotiate that. They're lawyers.
All right, next question.
Well, the next two, I think, kind of go together.
Yeah, I'm going to move them around a little bit.
All right.
Next question from Tom Hain at thane88. Do you foresee anything more substantial happening than a Chris Simon type move by Chuck Fletcher at the deadline?
I think that's the only thing that he's going to be able to afford.
If that.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's a bargain waiting out there that we can move prospects for that makes sense. And I don't know that that exists.
It's still not going to do anything for your cap space.
Only if you're dealing with, you're basically doing a prospect for prospect, maybe a guy who's coming up and going to be due for big bucks next year.
Yeah.
But that's going to potentially put us in a bind next year. So, and I have a tough time seeing that, to be honest.
I agree. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Former Minnesota Wild goalie, Ilya Bryzgalov.
Humanga's big.
I had to find that. Sorry.
You should have did it for the hashtag.
What?
I'll just keep reading.
Never mind. Okay. And he interviewed the NHL All-Stars with a parrot in tow. Is he the most interesting personality at All-Star Weekend?
Humongous big.
Hashtag.
Humongous big.
Grizzly bears.
I think wherever Briz is at,
he's the most interesting character.
Yeah, he's entertaining. Definitely. I mean, you've even seen him in, you know, some of his off-ice shenanigans at, you know, dinner parties and things like that. And he does. He kind of just seems like he's the guy who would be the life of the party.
I want to go have a beer with Briz.
You know what I love about Briz is he's so goofy that it looks like he's always wearing pads. It's like his shoulders are perpetually up in the air. It is the best thing in the world. And I just don't, I mean, I miss, I, Dubnyk and Stalock as a combo are playing very well for us. But I wish Briz was still in the league somewhere.
You know what? Yeah. Is he even playing anymore? Is he doing?
No.
He's done, correct?
He's an interviewer.
Yeah. He's making enough money as it is, so.
Oh, sorry, because he had like that extreme. Is he still getting paid from that contract?
He might be.
Because he was. They were
Humongous big.
Humongous big. Because they were paying him for at least another, what, 4, 5, 6 years?
It was a long time, yeah.
For his buyout?
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Which is worse, the pink uniforms the Western Conference had? The Western Conference teams had to wear, which we decided that those were not pink. They were solar red.
Solar red.
In the All-Star Game, or Kid Rock being intermission entertainment? Well, Kid Rock being entertainment in and of itself is pretty bad.
And not to interrupt you, but Briz is still getting... He's going to get paid through 2020. By the Flyers.
Yeah, I thought it was a long time. Make it rain.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
No doubt.
He's laughing all the way to the bank, too. I hope they do an All-Star game in Philly just so he can come back and be like, dude, you guys are still paying me to be here.
So I think what's worse?
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, yeah.
Kid Rock.
That's easy. No, that's an easy one. All right, next question, also from Grease and Assist. With Brock Besser's strong rookie season and his recent MVP award at the NHL All-Star Game, as well as winning the Top Sniper Challenge, will the Wild regret not taking him over Erickson Ek?
I don't think the question is will.
I'm sure they do.
It's,
but the thing,
are they?
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, but at the same point, it's like that's every draft, isn't it? You know, you could have had him. You could have, you know, done this and went for this other player. Every draft is filled with could-haves.
Should-haves.
Would-haves.
He's almost a point per game player right now.
Yeah. But that happens every year.
Yeah.
Just not to the Wild.
Just not to the Wild, right. There is that part.
That's just the Minnesota thing, man.
Right.
All right, next question coming in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. State of the Union is tomorrow. What would be the Minnesota Wild State of the Union in the following categories? Economy, cap space, education, prospects, and the draft. Leadership for coaching and capacity.
Captaincy.
Oh, captaincy, sorry. And diplomacy for treatment and Kaprizov situation.
I should go one at a time.
Yeah.
Let's round robin this one.
So, okay. Okay. So for the State of the Union for the economy, aka cap space, obviously it's dismal.
We are.
Yeah. Things are dismal. Yes. China. I figured that just has to go in there somewhere because it's the economy. But
are we not importing enough players from China?
We're importing.
We should. Are they cheaper?
I think we need to. I think we need to stop NAFTA. No more Canadians. There's probably like three Mexicans in the league, so we probably got to build a wall or something.
I think I broke jive.
All right, next question. Next, Kenny. Education, prospects, and draft.
Education. So, prospects and draft. I think we lost a lot of crap that we shouldn't have given up to Vegas to retain some players that we shouldn't have held on to, necessarily. However, I think, where was it? They still have, you know, 2018, we still got a first round, a third round, fifth round. We're looking good after next year. I think we're going to be hurting, and I think we shot ourselves in the foot for this current year's draft.
All right.
Jive, leadership.
Leadership, coaching. If Boudreaux...
Well, leadership is coach, is AKA coaching and captaincy.
Right.
Capacity.
So,
capacity.
Capacity. We need to increase the size of the arena.
I thought it was capacitance.
Capacitance?
Okay. How electric are they?
That's the impedance. Okay,
so anyways, for coaching, I think that Boudreaux is safe. I think that as long as he will be here, the Wild will probably have him. I don't think he's had an unsuccessful run with the Wild here. Probably not exactly the results that we've hoped for, but there's been a lot of other factors that have factored into that. As far as captaincy, I think it is definitely about time for maybe some way to be made for, you know, maybe some of the upcoming players that we have. That, you know, soon they're gonna have to get an A on their shirt and maybe get ready to take over some of that leadership duty out there. Maybe we'll be
never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen. But
didn't we have a team with eight captains at one point?
Maybe we'd be looking at somebody like
the rotating captaincy, you know, comes back.
Ooh.
Yeah,
maybe not gonna happen.
No, that was a Lemaire thing.
Yeah, no way that's gonna happen.
I don't know. I could see a little scrappy Zucker getting an A, or you know, maybe Granlund needs to get the captaincy so he can, you know, fall into the same lull as Koivu and you know, just not score as much and just be, you know.
Okay, and then
solid Finnish diplomacy. Person.
Diplomacy, aka fan treatment, and I'm going to leave Kaprazov to the next question.
That actually, yeah.
So, as far as diplomacy, aka fan treatment, you know what? I think they're doing all right. You know, I mean, I guess I don't have a problem. I think they're pretty open with their constraints.
Hey, they let you bring water from your lake.
I know, it's the best thing ever.
Did you bring water from your lake yet?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's very quite possible that some of the same water that is in this lake was used to flood the ice at the XL.
Though. Whoa! Yeah. Whoa! Mind blown. Yes. So, yeah, fan treatment, yeah, sure, whatever. On the Kaprazov
side, so we're going to kind of roll us in with T-Hane88's question. What's your gut tell you will ultimately happen with the Kaprazov situation and the Minnesota Wild?
He's not going to play for the Wild. That's what I'm going to say.
I think he's going to be staying in Russia. I think it's going to be...
I don't know that he's necessarily going to stay in Russia.
No?
But I think he knows he could get a big payday. So the
Wild can't afford it.
The Wild can't afford it. So, I mean, he's got the upper hand. There's nothing that the Wild can do.
Agent does.
Well, by proxy, he does as well. So, yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right, next question also from T-Hane88. What's the fallout if or when the Wild manages to hang on to a playoff spot but is dispatched in 5 games? Of course, this is assuming the Wild are going to lose in the first round.
Of course, this is assuming the Wild are going to make the playoffs.
That too. So there's a lot of assumptions going in here. If we go with the presumption that the Wild make the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round, you know, the way things shake out right now, that could very well be against Las Vegas. So losing against an expansion team in the first round would be pretty brutal. And I would have to imagine someone is going at that point, whether that's Fletcher or Boudreau, just because at a certain point you got to cut ties. I think Fletcher would be the drawing the short stick, though.
I think it would be Fletcher before Boudreau right now.
I agree.
And yeah, and I mean, but whoever comes up against Vegas,
they're gonna have a tough time.
They're gonna have a tough time.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's not. Everybody says it like, you know, an expansion team, but they were given a few more benefits than past.
Oh, expansion sure, teams. Sure.
So they've had an opportunity to be competitive out of the gate here.
I think it's been well documented and said by many of people higher up that no, they wanted to have a competitive expansion team right off the bat,
which is fine, but you know that shouldn't be a you know that should also mean that. You know, a team that does go in and lose to them in the first round of the playoffs, I don't think that it should be looked down on just because they're a, you know, new franchise.
Sure.
They've still got a lot of great talent.
Oh, yeah.
To put onto their team. And it's, you know, so. All right. Next question comes in from JBushy19. Do the Minnesota Wild sign both Zucker and Dumba, or just one of them, and look to trade the other this offseason?
I hate to say it, but I think you got to look at trading one of them. You know, we'll see how things shake out at the end of the year. I know Zucker had a really hot streak there, but now he's kind of cooled off. I know you made a jab at him with his empty netters.
A jab, but I still like his game, even when he's not scoring.
So I don't know who ends up getting moved, but I think whoever is GM at the end of the season is going to want some wiggle room to make some moves. And I think one of those guys are expendable at this point.
Well,
you know,
and part of the deal is, yeah. Realistically, we're probably not going to be able to afford both of them,
right?
Unfortunately, and that's a problem because, I mean, this is some of the younger talent that we've been, you know, having, that we've been trying to bring up. And, you know, it's going to be a shame to lose some of that, especially since we'd already given up some of that in the whole expansion where we passed over some of our young talent there.
And here's where we're sitting at right now for free agents. Zucker and Dunbar are both RFAs. And then you got Stewart, Cullen, and Winnick as UFAs. Cullen's probably going to be done after this
Cullen's
year.
Cullen's done, yep.
Winnick, you know, they can maybe get him for 1.5, maybe 2 mil for another year.
And Winnick's been, Winnick's had a little bit of a hot streak here. He's been playing well once Parise came back. They seem to be pairing all right with Stahl on that line.
You know,
Winnick's
32. Stewart's 30. Stewart right now is at 1.15. I mean, they can't really pay him much more right now than what he's making.
No,
I don't know that he would ask for more.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, or maybe he doesn't want to stay here because
he's not getting enough minutes.
Right. I mean, he's getting healthy scratched, you know, I would imagine, considering he's been in the league long enough.
So, you know, which does put us down to those two names as our big free agents right now. Zucker's at currently at 2 mil, and Dumba's at just over 2.5.
But one, if not both of them, are going to get raises. So,
who's going to go?
Yeah.
Which also, if one of them does go, what's going to be the price on the other one? 3? 3.5? That almost seems like too much money to pay either of them right now.
Yeah.
My opinion. But
I disagree, but yeah, I don't think that the Wild will be able to sign both of them, though, unfortunately. I mean, if you can make a move for somebody, maybe that's what we need to do. But making a move for them right now really doesn't free up that much space.
No.
So, next one.
Next one. So, from at Puck Rocker, I don't have a question, but I would like the help of Three in the Box to start a movement to get Wes McCauley to make a YouTube video of him reading the children's book Good Night Moon. It would
they can't do that!
It would be friggin' epic. You know, I gotta say thank you for putting that out there because it put us down a rabbit hole pre-show watching Wes McCauley highlight videos. And I think it would be pretty friggin' epic.
All right.
Good night, Moon!
Last question.
Good night, Rabbit.
Last question from T. Hank.
Good night, creaky chair in the corner.
Okay, where do I mute Jive? Last question from T. Hank 88. You can't do that. should Chuck Fletcher look to move Coyle at the deadline?
You can't do that.
I don't think he's going to do that.
Again, Coyle's got a few more years left on his contract, and at 3.2 mil, they're going to be taking they're going to be eating half of his contract easily if they do.
Unless the deal is something amazing and the Wild are tanking hardcore at that point, I have a tough time seeing it.
I don't see Coyle leaving before his contract's up.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't have nothing to yell over me. Can't do that. Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, that's it. Twitter talk. Kenny.
Yeah.
Where can people find what you're up to?
Words. Usually at
words.
Words.
Stuff.
Stuff. Nostra Kenius, Twitter. Instagram.
I wait for a guy to play a sample because he's like, ooh, sample.
Yeah, no. He can't do that.
Still nothing. Okay.
Still nothing.
I just want to get done. Just get your stuff.
That's what
out.
She said. We have not had one of those tonight, and that was like
that was a good one.
That would have been a good one for that's what one. She said. I just want to get this done.
Yes, finish the goddamn episode.
That's what she said.
Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me
at Anger Management. Hopefully,
I'm on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
Okay. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter. You asshole. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at AngryFin. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll read them on the show. You can listen to our podcast, our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's episode. See ya. Bye-bye.